Nossa, escuta.
The Logbook.com's Escape Pod is back just in time for April 10th. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. In the year 837 AD, Halley's Comet was closer to Earth than it's ever been since, only 3.2 million miles away. In 1979, the Soviet Soyuz 33 mission lifted off, but never reached its destination, Space Station Salyut 6. Only 3,000 feet away from the station, the Soyuz capsule's engine stalled out, the first time that had happened in over a decade of Soyuz flights. After Soyuz 33 returned to Earth, engineers discovered that the engine could have exploded, causing catastrophic damage to the vehicle in space. This also left the residents of Salyut 6 stuck aboard their space station for 175 days without any face-to-face contact with other human beings. In 1981, the first attempt to launch Space Shuttle Columbia was scrubbed due to a computer synchronization error.
The problem has not been traced to whether it is a strictly a software problem or whether it's possibly has something to do with the hardware. So at the present time, we have terminated our launch attempt for today and will reschedule for no earlier than Sunday morning at 6:50 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Shuttle Launch Control.
Born on this day in 1957, American novelist John M. Ford, among his science fiction works were the Star Trek novels How Much for Just the Planet and The Final Reflection. On this day in 1979, Italian film composer Nino Rota died. He did the music for the first two Godfather movies. In 2000, actor Peter Jones died, the voice of the book in the radio, record, and TV versions of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
To tell the story of the book, it is best to tell the story of some of the minds behind it. A human from the planet Earth was one of them, though as our story opens, he no more knows his destiny than a tea leaf knows the history of the East India Company. His name is Arthur Dent.
In 1971, the Time Lords lifted the Doctor's exile. Sort of.
Why, sure, the Master knows.
The report on the Doomsday Weapon is missing from our files. Only he could have taken it.
Then we can use the Doctor to deal with this problem.
The Doctor resents his exile bitterly. Do you think he'll cooperate with us?
I doubt it. We immobilized his TARDIS, took away his freedom to move in space and time.
Then we must restore his freedom. For as long as it serves our purpose.
As the first episode of the story Colony in Space premiered on the BBC, with the show's producers already finding ways to allow the Doctor to escape Earth, where he had been exiled by the Time Lords. Or, more accurately, exiled by the BBC in an effort to keep the budget down. Keeping the TARDIS trapped on Earth was never a popular choice with the audience, though. In 2009, the crew of Red Dwarf returned for the first time in a decade, as British cable comedy channel Dave premiered the first of three episodes of Red Dwarf, Back to Earth.
Hey, there's something out there! I saw something moving!
My bowels if you keep shouting like that!
Chaps, bit of an update. There appears to be something bigger than God heading straight for you.
What is it?
How do I know? It's not like a commercial airliner with writing down the side.
Well, do something! Get us out of here!
Can't! Too scared.
And in 2005, the first season of the reimagined Battlestar Galactica came to an explosive end on the Sci-Fi Channel. You can read about these events and many more on the Logbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history, and you can pick up the Logbook's original books and DVDs, along with hundreds of other titles, in the Logbook.com store. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
Mr. Rimmer?
Yes?
You have 24 hours to get your affairs in order. Then you will be offline and your data files erased. Then your hard drive will be fired into space, and when safe distance from ship, it will be detonated by nuclear fusion.
You really don't like me, do you?